Your mind is always generating stories, and we have the power, you know, that's one of our great gifts as human beings. We have the power to rewrite what we're actually thinking about the experience that we're in.
Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi there, I am Rebecca Walker, and I am the author of 8 books, including 2 memoirs, Black, White, and Jewish, Autobiography of a Shifting Self, and Baby Love, Choosing Motherhood After a Lifetime of Ambivalence. I do a lot of writing for film and TV, and I'm thrilled to be here with my brilliant co-author, Lily Diamond, who's about to introduce herself, to talk about our new book, What's Your Story? A Journal for Everyday Evolution.
Hi, I'm Lily Diamond, and I am also so happy to be here with my dearest mentor and co-author, Rebecca, and with you, Sylvia. I'm a writer and advocate. I live in Maui, Hawaii, and my work is focused on democratizing wellness for accessible practices that reconnect people with their birthright to care for themselves and their communities. I'm the author of Kale and Caramel, Recipes for Body, Heart, and Table, which is the memoir cookbook. And most recently, our book baby, What's Your Story? A Journal for Everyday Evolution.
Well, I am so happy to have both of you here today. And see, I put my notes aside because you did great introductions. You guys are amazing. You women, actually, you gals. You have to start saying that. So the book that you co-authored, as you said, What's Your Story? A Journal for Everyday Evolution. It's really an interactive book. It's an interactive journal. I know that it's broken down into different themes. And really, one of you said, I don't know which one, finding the voice to know, write, and speak your story can mean the difference between an existence of repressed silence and a life of joyful fulfillment. Our stories have the power to limit or liberate us, and that they do. So why don't you begin by, when did you realize that there are so many people who need to not just rewrite their story, but actually dig up what's inside to further their story and write something, you say for the future, but really we're living in the present, the future we have no idea about. So why don't you go ahead and what inspired you to even start?
Well, I'll start. You know, I as a writer who has written, you know, these 2 memoirs and then an autobiographical novel and many, many essays, personal essays, about different, you know, themes and stories in my life. I really understood very early on that writing one story, it can be a really cathartic, transformative experience, especially when you write it understanding the weight of it and how it's affecting, you know, your everyday life. And if you write it understanding that if you move through some of the memories and the stories that you've been holding, you can actually make space for a new story and a new sort of emergent being. So an example of that would be my first memoir, Black, White, and Jewish, which is really about trying to work out a complex multiracial identity and feeling very fragmented, you know, as I was growing up. And then working through that process of defragmentation and of finding a kind of transcendent wholeness through the process of looking back and uncovering the original story that was written kind of on my body and in my psyche, and letting that one go and envisioning a different way of moving through the world. And so I think doing that over and over again in my life was a real life-saving act, you know? and a revolutionary act in that it allowed me to be healthy and sane and, you know, contribute to other people and, you know, be a, you know, functional human being. And so understanding that as a practice led me to want to bring that to other people and to support them as they did similar work with their lives. And so Lily and I met in a masterclass that I was teaching about writing one story called The Art of Memoir. And we became, you know, collaborators in many ways very early on. And now here we are, having worked through a lot of these ideas and thoughts and integrating different questions that we've asked people in the workshop and that have helped them excavate their old stories and make new stories. And we decided we should put it in a book so that people could have it, you know, with them in their homes, in their bedrooms, in their most intimate spaces, their living rooms, their backyards, and could really embark on this journey of personal transformation. In the hopes that, you know, as we all evolve and become more aligned with a higher self, that so will the world.
Okay, so will the world. So Lily, you had mentioned at the very beginning that you wrote a memoir. It was a cookbook memoir. So have you always journaled? I mean, I know, as Rebecca just said, you gals met when you took one of her master classes, The Art of Memoir. So how did you go about journaling? Did you just start when you were taking the class, or had you always been doing this?
I have been a writer literally for as long as I can remember. Because you know, the people in my life and my parents knew that, I would often be gifted journals. And so by the time that I was, I don't know, 15, I had dozens of journals on my shelves because it was like the thing that everyone gave me because they knew that I wrote. And I'm sad to say that even by then, I was already writing on a computer. I would rush home from school. I was an only child. And I would rush home from school, and most days I would sit down at the computer and I would write short stories. And really what I was doing, and I was very conscious of it even then, was I would write myself into stories where I had more, I had sisters, I had cousins, I had family around me because I wanted that. And I had this sense of missing it, even though it was something that, you know, I hadn't ever really had. So I've always been very deeply connected to storytelling. And though my days of writing fiction sort of passed as I grew older, I've been writing writing is part of my DNA, my essential makeup and understanding of how I approach the world. And I came into Rebecca's Art of Memoir course at a time where I was grieving the passing of my mother. She had died a year before. And I was also grieving some really deep heartbreak, romantic heartbreak, and also exploring a huge transformation in the work that I did and had done for many years, sort of like deep rearranging of who I knew myself to be in the world. And I knew that I wanted to get back to my writing. Like I knew that that was the central point that I needed to start from. And so I came into the Art of Memoir course, not knowing that I would end up writing, you know, a whole book out of it, which I did. But I came in, I think, as many people do now in all different arenas. It might not be through, you know, writing initially. It might be through, you know, picking up a self-help book or going to church or going to temple or, you know, listening to a political leader. People are looking for answers. I think that's something that we all, you know, we want to understand the world around us better. And what I found in taking the Art of Memoir course was actually a space where seeking for answers was reflected back to me. You know, how do I answer these questions for myself? What are my truths? What do I believe? And to really deeply be given that mirror and asked to look at oneself, to ask to look at all of the messiness and the contradiction and the challenges and, you know, the traumas that we carry is incredibly profound. And I got to experience the way that each person in the course was also, living through that with Rebecca's guidance. And so as we continued to work together after that first course, eventually in the coming years, you know, this method of using questions to unearth these spaces in ourselves that don't always get a lot of attention, and to help ourselves with this task of being honest that is not always so easy. That came to be, and that's what the book is.
Well, did you find, because you said you started when you were writing, that you were writing fiction?
Yeah.
You were writing what you, it seemed what you, turned out it was, you were writing what you would have liked. You would have, you know, not that you said you really thought about it, but you would have liked.
Yeah.
And we all have. So did any of that actually meld into the questions that were being asked as you were going through the masterclass? Did it wind up being some of, you know, what you, some of the answers that you were looking for? Did you find out why you were maybe writing the fiction that you were writing?
Well, I think, you know, for me, I think probably being in, you know, going through years of therapy and deep inner work was more revealing of that. But certainly, yes, then also having the space to really dig in and say, okay, so, you know, where is that longing coming from? And I think that's something that, you know, Rebecca was referencing as well. And, you know, her first memoir, Black, White, and Jewish, also is, you know, an exploration of what is this longing that we have really to belong fundamentally.
Yes, it is. It's one of the biggest things that people go through, this wanting to belong. And most of us have no idea why, but we've been brought up to want to meld in, to, you know, do the right thing. This is the way we're supposed to act. We're not supposed to do this. We're not supposed to do that from a very, very young age. As little girls, so many things are suppressed. The same thing with little boys, so many things are suppressed, because at a young age, when they're, you know, 3, 4, the guys are supposed to be, you know, guys, and the girls are supposed to play with dolls, and it just, it explodes as we get older in repressing so much of who we are, that at some point we're going to explode if we don't start going through life accepting and realizing and being able to put ourselves out there. And whether it's the next chapter, that chapter, to me, the chapters are endless. And the acts are endless. So I want to get back to the book, because I know it consists of like 150 questions, but you have a specific strategy in there. There's another word that I want to use, but I don't do word retrieval that well. But you explore certain areas of life and you picked, you know, certain ones. So why don't you, Rebecca, why don't you take a couple of the areas that you explore, and why were those important that you think people should explore?
Well, you know, the idea of the structure of the book is really to walk you through a day in your life and how you relate to different moments during the day. and how you relate to yourself and your mind and then others and then the environment and your work and your thoughts about your death, you know, your all of those things that you think about every day. So we do start out with, what is your relationship with your mind? Are you at odds with your mind? Is your mind at peace? You are awake. What are you making of your world and of yourself at that moment? And then we move into your body. As you start to become aware of your body, how do you feel about your body? What were you told about your body? What is the story you're carrying about your body? What would you like it to be? What makes your body feel good? What makes it feel bad? And then we move out into relationship. You know, what were you taught about how to treat other people? How would you like to be treated? What were some of the stories that you were told or shown when you were growing up? You know, what will it take for you to get the kind of relationship that you want to have? What do you need to do? Can you receive more than you give? Do you give more than you receive? How does that feel? And then we just keep moving out and out from this sort of core, the mind, the body, other people. Then you go into your workspace. You know, what is your relationship to work? What are your ideas about work? Do you think that you should just, be paid for your time? Or do you feel that you want to be recognized at a deeper level for what you bring to the table or what you bring to the community? How much should you work? How much should you be paid to work? How do you integrate that? This idea of concentric circles, you know, moving out or actually sort of more like, you know, you throw a pebble in and the your mind is the pebble, and then everything radiates out from there, ending with how do you feel, you know, when you go to sleep? And then really finally, how do you feel when you go into that final sleep of death? Are you ready to face that? What is your story about death? And we structured it that way because it feels very organic. You know, as a writer of memoir and books and stories and essays, I'm always looking for an organic structure, you know, something that really mirrors the world that you're creating in the piece. So my book about becoming a mother is structured in trimesters, you know, and then a sort of daily journal that's in between the trimesters, very organic to the 9-month gestation process. Black, white, and Jewish, about growing up in many different worlds. Each chapter is a different city or a place where I lived. And so I think, you know, structure is very important to writers of all kinds. And that's very, very true about this book as well. So it really feels that we evolve moment by moment, and we evolve as we are in relationship with different aspects of our being and our world. And so we wanted to reflect that and to give people a kind of a way to bring these questions into their lives at different points that are very natural. You know, you wake up, you look at, you feel your body, you look over at whoever's in bed with you or not in bed with you, you look at your space, you start to think about working. You know what I mean?
It's bringing it all to the forefront of your mind instead of having it back where people, again, will suppress it and not realize why they're doing certain things and why they are not having a good day. And it'll just snowball.
Yes. And I think the idea is to help people understand that you can change your story at any moment, you know, at any moment. And at every moment, we're carrying a story of our experience. Either we're happy about what we're going to do, we're not into what we're going to do, this is going to be this way, this is going to be that way, I'm going to feel that, you know, it's a constant, you know, your mind is always generating stories. And we have the power, you know, that's one of our great gifts as human beings. We have the power to rewrite what we're actually thinking about the experience that we're in. And so the book is really trying to trigger that instinct, to trigger that ability, to flex that muscle, to rewrite your very experience by rewriting the story, re-narrating what's happening to you in every moment. So trying to really space out those moments and allow people to connect with different sections of their lives and their days, we felt was a really helpful way to trigger that that impulse, that instinct, you know, so you think, oh, I'm waking up. Let me see what my story is. You know, let me check it. So that's one aspect of the book. And then, you know, Lily can talk more about the different other ways that you can access it.
Yeah, sure. I also just wanted to highlight before we leave from those rippling circles, I love that metaphor, and connecting this back to the way that you were talking about the idea, Sylvia, that there's something about how habituated we become to our patterns, that, as you said, they end up in the backs of our minds. We don't see clearly what we're doing, which is so alarming, really. Like, if when we think about it, it's like, you know, it's like that feeling when you are driving and you're driving a road that you've driven 100 times, and all of a sudden you realize you've gotten from point A to point Z, and you don't remember any of the road because you were so lost in your own thoughts, but somehow you got there through muscle memory. And I think, unfortunately, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I know there are many areas of my life where I do that in relationship with people. You know, I fall into these patterns of habituation that can be very damaging, actually, if we don't bring them, as you said, to front of mind. What am I actually seeing? What am I actually doing? And so the book is designed to, the questions are designed to give you that mirror so that you can see, to draw those habits forward. And as Rebecca was sort of gesturing towards, we also created 5 different themes in the book so that if you're interested in exploring creativity and self-expression, you can follow through color code, the colors that will guide you to prompts focused on that area, or self-care, or activism and politics, or grief, loss, and the work of healing, or spirituality. And some of the prompts cover, you know, multiple themes, and you can see that reflected in the color coding. And it's just, you know, we want people to feel very free to use the book, which is also, I think, can be, it can feel liberating to some people. And I think for some people, it can also feel intimidating because they want like a real system. And there is a system, and you can use that system, but it also doesn't need to be so rigid. If someone is feeling a little bit hesitant about starting, about the process of diving in, we don't want it to feel intimidating at all. It's like, enter wherever you enter. If you want to, you know, dive into the deep end, dive into the deep end. If you want to wade into the shallows, and just every day you open the book and you look at a question and you let it sit in your mind, that's fine too.
But that's real life.
Yeah.
That's how life really works. And so what it seems that both of you have created is a roadmap for people to be able to take a look at what's going on around them. Take a look, really, the first thing is themselves. If we don't look at ourselves and understand ourselves, we're never really going to get past that. The empowerment has to come from within us in order to be able to inspire anyone else or empower anyone else. If it doesn't come from within, we're not going anyplace. So I think, especially to me, in today's day and age and the world of the unknown that we live in right now, it's very, very timely. So what do you hope people, especially in today's atmosphere, take from this? What would be a couple of the most important things that people can do now with everything that's going on? And we're not going to be specific about it because we all know life has been turned upside down by so many things. The thing that has affected all of us beyond belief is this pandemic. And the scariness of it. And we don't know when, if, you know, things are going to ever get back to whatever we call normal. So what is the most important thing that you think somebody can get from reading your book, from opening it up at any page and going, wow?
Yeah.
All right, keep right.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to boil it down to one thing, but, you know, I think it's great because, you know, we've been asked this question. Obviously, we've been talking about the book, and it's been really great to be out, you know, sharing this work with other people and answering just this question. But it's great also to feel into it each time it's asked and not have a specific, you know, sort of canned response, which is what the book is really working to help us see, that we often just say the same things and tell the same stories, but we're not really awake in the present to have a new story. So anyway, the answer that just came to mind for me is, I think the book is really helpful in this particular moment of sort of overload, you know, so much stimulation, so much discussion, discord, dissonance, fear, you know, sort of everything that's happening, where it's very difficult to just quiet the mind and to have a space that's very safe and supportive for you to just tell your truth, you know, and to explore yourself in a way that feels that feels sort of, you know, I hope, you know, that feels very loving and very peaceful. I think it's a very peaceful book, actually. You know, we worked very hard with our designer, Heather Scott, and the prompts are very deeply considered, even though they're often very deep prompts. I think that overall, the energy of the book, the frequency of the book, the spaciousness of the book, is very soothing, really. And so when I think about what it can give people right now, I see people holding it and opening it, you know, under a tree, in their bed at night, wherever they are, and just being able to let go of all of the noise and go inward in a way that feels like a relief, that is regenerative, and like a deep exhale. So I think that's something that I would love to offer. Just moments of respite, of going inward in a safe space, in a loving space, that encourages more and more kind of clarity and self-awareness and sort of, you know, self-confidence in being in alignment with who we really are and want to be. So I think today that's what I'm hoping.
How about you, Lily?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And I think the space that I would add next is, you know, after that exhale, what is the inhale? What will you fill that space with? What will you choose to write? What will the new story be? What will it feel like to speak your truth and to allow yourself to imagine a new way of being? And I so often feel in myself and hear from other people how difficult it is in times when we are all so diminished in a way, when we're really challenged, it's hard to imagine something different. And so, you know, what does it look like to really give yourself permission to imagine a new way of being, to imagine a new way of living in the world, of being in relationship to the people in your life? And what does it look like to imagine a new world entirely? a new way of living in community with each other, with our country, with other countries and places and other communities around the world and the earth itself. I think the exhale and the inhale.
Yeah. And the word you used, giving yourself permission, which is something that we don't do enough of. We're allowed to be able to take that deep inhale and then exhale and then inhale again. We're allowed to take a deep dive into who we are and why we do certain things. And giving ourselves permission is huge. I don't want to keep going back to women, but as women, we were so brought up on, so many generations were brought up on that we really should not ask for permission because we don't have, it wasn't until the 70s that women were allowed to get credit on their own. So yes, it's not that long ago, but for so many people, they don't know anything about that. But giving yourself permission to feel what you want to feel, giving yourself permission to answer the question the way you want to answer the question, because it's about who we are. I think it's a journal, interactive journal, truly, and it's something that so many of us need, especially now. So I thank you, gals, for doing this. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca, where can people find you?
People can find me at my Instagram handle, though I'm not really the social media maven that Lily is. She's really our genius in that department. But I am Rebecca Walker is my Insta handle. You can always find me at RebeccaWalker.com. Lily?
Our book channel on the interwebs, our website is whatsyourstorynow.com. And that's also our Instagram handle for the book is at whatsyourstorynow. And you can find all kinds of information about events that we are doing and have done for the book there. And I am at lilydiamond.com. And my social handles are just my name, at Lily Diamond. And we're excited to connect with anyone out there who is looking through, reading through, writing through the book. And we always love to see how you all are relating to the work and the process. So please share with us.
Yes. Well, ladies, thank you so much. This has been so timely in an atmosphere that we can all use hope and being able to discover ourselves and where we're going.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us. We've really enjoyed this, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I can see from Lily's big smile that she has too. It's wonderful to have spent this time with you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Sylvia.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining me today. If you liked what you heard, please share it with another person you think would be interested. And if you haven't already, please subscribe. Join me next week when I talk to another extraordinary, inspiring woman.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Upper Deck, the national full-service virtual gym that has reinvented the at-home workout experience. Upper Deck has more than 30 strength and cardio classes a week. Named Best Fitness Club in the Gold Coast for 2020, Upper Deck brings the gym to you with live coaching and motivation. Upper Deck's unique classes are interactive. They have two coaches, one leading your workout and one keeping her eyes on you, providing feedback and encouragement in real time. For a free week of unlimited virtual classes with no strings attached, email info@upperdeckfitness.com and let Upper Deck know you're a Sylvia and Me listener. This has been a Life of Prey production.